Thank you. Well, good morning, Life Change. I figure, like me, you're dealing with that little extra turkey you had to cram in there. Maybe still in a coma. So, do you all have a good Thanksgiving?
Awesome.
Was the Lord really good to you? Mm-hmm. Nonsense. Isn't it? You know, the thing about Thanksgiving is it really is a time to just give thanks to God because he is so generous teaching every one of us. He provides us. He blesses us. He walks with us. And it is just so great. You know, that's why when someone says, I can't think of anything to thank the Lord for, I mean, there's so much. Every breath, the sun outside, the light. You know, if we were to thank God for everything, we'd be there for about, you know, maybe a year solid. Probably about 5 years.
Then you got new things. You have to start over.
Yeah. Every day would have something new. So we had a good food turnout last weekend for the blessing to give to those who need it. So we're actually going to start doing that now the last Sunday of every month. Not this month, because, well, November's already gone. But we're going to start starting in December. So if you'd like to donate some food to those who need it in the church, because this is just going to be for people in the church, then bring food on the last Sunday, on the potluck Sunday, and we'll have it here, we'll bless it, and we'll send it out. Also, this coming Saturday, December the 2nd, we're going to do outreach. So if you want to do that, just be here at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll have a little training. Then we'll go out, we'll knock on some doors, and we'll talk with some people. And then also,
wake up.
On the 9th is our Christmas party. Ooh, yes, Christmas is here already. So the party is going to be here on December the 9th at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a potluck. There's going to be a maximum $15 gift, but not a white elephant gift this year, just a regular Christmas gift. So, and it's always a good time to get together for those who have made it in the past. We sing Christmas carols, we laugh, we have fun, we enjoy each other's fellowship. In past times, a pink bunny suit has come out, but we won't mention that. Actually, that never happened. Sorry, that never happened. I was never here. We can erase that. That's pretty much it. This morning, we're going to pray for Pacific Baptist Church in Cutler City. They're having a meeting today, and they really need the Lord's presence and blessing upon that meeting. So if you would, just please join me in a prayer really quick, and then we'll get to some worship. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your steadfastness, Lord. We thank you for being the rock that we can stand on, solid foundation. Lord, we thank you for being our strong tower and our defense. Lord, we thank you for your guidance in all ways and everything. Lord, we thank you that no matter what happens, you are still there with your arms wide open for us. Mm-hmm. And Lord, it says in Scripture that if we ask for wisdom, that you grant it. And Lord, we pray for your wisdom now to descend upon those at Pacific Baptist. Lord, we also pray for your peace, your love, your grace, and your joy to reign there in each and every person's heart and mind. Lord, please help them to see each other as you see them and to love each other as you love them. And Lord, I pray not only for them there, but also for each and every person here. And each and every person that knows you, Lord, that loves you, Lord, that they would see everyone around them as you see them. Lord, please help us and guide us to be more like you. And Lord, please watch over Pacific Baptist today. Lord, please guide them. and keep them close to you. Lord, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, shall we stand and worship the Lord?
Backfiring again. Here we go.
I will call upon the Lord. Upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
One more time.
The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, our God. You reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, our God. You reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting.
comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Amen.
Thanks, Jaden, for that song. It's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, some by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger bought me with his precious blood. To grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. For to wander, Lord, I feel it prompt to leave the God I love. My heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. God,
I just thank you that you are ever present in our lives. Thank you for loving us so much that you would die for us. Thank you that you inhabit our praises and that your Holy Spirit just hovers around us and guides us and leads us. We just want to worship you and thank you this morning. And thank you so much for the music you gave us this morning. Thank you, Father, for Pastor and for his message that you've given him. And I just ask your blessing on this time, that he would be able to give us what you have for us, and that we would open our hearts and minds and spirits to receive your word. And we praise and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. I pray the Lord has blessed you. You had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and you are ready to just live for Christ and all of his glory. So we're going to be looking at the book of 2 Thessalonians this morning. We had some people who came to last week to our membership class, and I would like to introduce them and welcome them into our fellowship. So Mary Mann, she wants to be a part of our group. Also, we have Charlie and Tiffany Lesby, and they want to be a part of our group. And so would you come on down? And then Nora Webster wants to be a part of our group as well. And so I'm really blessed. I think we as a congregation are blessed by each of these who come today. And so we want to pray for them and continue to pray for them. And just ask that you be consistent in your prayers for new believers as well as for the body of this church. And we want to pray for you. And then we have a silly thing at our church and our denomination. We vote on people, whether they can be a member or not. So we'll pray first, just in case there are some nays. Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful group of individuals who've come. I want to join with us. And Lord, I believe they're workers. They want to participate. They want to give of themselves as well as receive from you at this church. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would bless them. And God, that you would continue to bless them. I pray, Lord, that the fruit here at Life Change would be a lasting fruit. I pray, Father, that there would be transformation. I know there's already transformation that's taking place in the hearts and lives of these who are here. But God, I pray for that to be continual. And Lord, whether they're struggles, whether they're victories, Lord, we want to participate in that. And so, Lord, we just lift them up now and just bring them before your throne and ask your blessings upon them. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All in favor of having this group of people come and be a part of our congregation, say amen. All right. You may be. Thank you. And what I'm going to do after service is over, I'm going to ask each of them to stand back near the back door and you can welcome them into our fellowship. So, now, sorry. If you've ever read, I hope you read the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, I hope you've read them. This is probably the only books in the Bible where every chapter, there's something that has to do with the coming of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus. Sometimes it's a verse, sometimes it's several verses. And so in this passage of Scripture and in these letters, Paul is encouraging people to live for the Lord. He's encouraging them to be ready for the coming of Christ. So I've entitled this message, The Ready Church, because the Church of Thessalonians, it was of all of the churches that Paul wrote letters to, the church at Thessalonica was like his heart, his joy, his everything. That, I mean, he just wanted to give himself to them. Philippi was another church that he had a tremendous love for, but it seems like this church at Macedonia was like his heart. And so we're going to find out more about that as we read. So Thessalonica was a prominent city in Macedonia, now modern-day Greece. There's a city that was near a seaport, and so there was a lot of traveling and a lot of individuals that come through there. They lived on the Ignatia Way, which is a Romans road, a prominent city, a lot of activity going on there. And so this is Paul's second missionary journey. He went to Thessalonica and he began preaching hard for 3 weeks. And when he preached, there were Jews, there were Greeks, there were prominent women who came to faith in Jesus Christ. But as he preached, he only was able to stay there 3 weeks because he was run out of town. not everybody likes the message of Jesus Christ. And so the Jews got jealous of his preaching and people coming to him and not coming and leaving the Jewish camp and embracing Jesus Christ. They got jealous, they got angry, and they were out for his life. And so he had been staying at a person's house named Jason. That sounds like my phone, but I know it's not, but I left it in my office. So he was staying at a house in Jason's house. And so the Jews came in and tried to find him, and that they had already sent Paul out and Silas out to a place called Berea. And so they took Jason and they took him into the courts and they fined him. He had to pay a bond to get out of jail. If you've ever had to pay a bond, you probably won't raise your hand. But they had to pay a bond to get out of jail. And so that's where the church started in Macedonia. Paul had come, he had preached for 3 weeks, and things began to blossom there. People gave their heart to Jesus Christ. He had to leave. And so what happens, after he got to Berea, he later found himself in Corinth, and that is where he wrote these two letters to the church in Thessalonica. And actually, this was only 20 years after Jesus' crucifixion. Right? And he wrote these letters and trying to encourage them because they were new to the faith. And he was, I think, like most pastors, he's concerned about their growth. He's concerned about their faith. He's concerned about their love. And no doubt he was praying for them. I don't know if any of you have had opportunity to lead someone to Christ. But when you do, it's like, now I've got to be sure that they're going to grow in that relationship with the Lord. You can't just leave them on their own. Okay, they're a convert. They've professed their faith. But now you've got to encourage them. And Paul had to run out of town and leave town. And so what he did after he got to Corinth, he sent Timothy back to encourage them. Let's start reading, if you would, in 2 Thessalonians. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's word. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgments of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Bryce, would you pray for me as I begin, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this blessing, this place to as a church, come to grow and to learn more in your word, Father. And we just pray for Pastor and the message you gave him, that it will mean something to everyone. And they'll be blessed and take it and put it into action. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can you hear me? All right. thank you. So this church was in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to listen. It's vitally important that a person believe in both God and in Jesus Christ. I talk to a lot of people and I've heard others say, well, they believe in God. Or, yes, I believe in God. That's great. I'm glad you're not an atheist, right? However, believing in God does not give you security and knowledge that one day you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven just because you believe in Him. It does not, just because you believe in God does not mean that your sins are forgiven. It takes, so Paul is starting with, in this church is in God and in Jesus Christ. If you look in verses 1, verse 2, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 12, Jesus is called the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 17, 3, this passage says, and this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's both and, not either or. I've heard people say, well, I believe in God, but I don't know so much about Jesus. And I've heard others say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't know so much about God. And it's like, listen, you have to put your faith in both of them. If you leave one of them out, then you are not a believer. There's a counterfeit church, called the Jehovah's Witness, who they may come knocking at your door. How many of you have ever had them knocking at your door? How many of you have ever had a Christian come knock at your door? See, they're more eager to share their stuff than we are eager to share truth. They'll come knock at your door, and they will try to convince you that their way is the right way. But I don't care who it is, I don't care what religion it is, they might share with you a religion, and that may be right in their eyes, but what you need to ask them is, what do you believe about Jesus? Because that's the crux of the matter. That's the crux of the matter. They do not recognize Jesus as God-man. Did you know that Jesus means Jehovah saves? Jehovah, the word Jehovah, occurs over 7,000 times in the Old Testament. If you were in Life Group some weeks ago, we were watching a video called The Oracles of God. And in this video, they depicted a scribe who was writing scripture. At one time, they had to just write it by hand. Every dot, every letter crossed, everything. And when they came to the word God, the scribe would put down his pen. He would go outside. He would go to the pool, and he would wash himself. He would cleanse himself. Once he was cleansed, he would come back, and he would write Jehovah. And every time he came to that word again, it could be three times in the same sentence, he would go out, wash himself in the pool, and he would come back and write Jehovah. It was a very reverent name. It was a very sacred name. And if you're familiar with the Hebrew text, oftentimes they did not want to say it or write it incorrectly. So they just used three letters instead of pronouncing the name or saying the name or writing the name. But listen, the Jehovah's Witness are not witnessing about Jesus. And if you aren't witnessing about Jesus, you aren't witnessing about Jehovah. Listen to this passage of scripture, if you would, in chapter 12, verse 10. And this speaks of the last days before Jesus comes, and how the Israelites will come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They will open their eyes, and every one of them would receive Christ into their heart. Zechariah 12, 10 says, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on me whom they pierced." Do you know who's speaking this? Jehovah. Now, can you pierce a spirit? No, it's Jesus Christ. And he said, "They've looked on me whom they have pierced." And this is Jehovah speaking. And it goes on to say, "They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn." Have you ever seen someone, possibly some of you, have lost a firstborn or someone dear to you, and you grieve and you mourn because of the loss? You grieve and you mourn because of the hurt, the pain that's taking place in your heart. You grieve and you mourn because you're brokenhearted over these issues. And this is what this says. When the Israelites recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, they're going to be brokenhearted because they have neglected him and rejected him all these years. And they're going to come to faith in Jesus Christ. They're going to give their heart to him, and they're going to be weeping and wailing because of their neglect of the Son of God. And yet they're going to find salvation, every single one of them. "They will look upon me whom they've pierced." So here's the deal. If anybody comes to your door, they want to talk to you about religion, before you talk to them about anything else, you talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about Jesus. And if they're wrong about Jesus, it really doesn't matter what they're right about. Because that is the apex of everything that God has done through Jesus Christ and him alone. They may say, "We admire Jesus." But you can say, "No, do you worship Jesus?" "Well, I think he was a good man." Well, do you worship him? Do you worship him? Jesus is Jehovah. He's the Son of God, and what they are teaching is not of God. So, number one, a ready church knows the Lord Jesus and worships the Lord Jesus. A ready person has had an encounter with Jesus Christ, which transformed them from the inside out. Now, we must know God, but we also must know Jesus. It grieves my heart whenever I'm talking to someone who has a contact with someone else and I don't have that contact. And I say, "Do they know Jesus?" "Well, they know God." I know they're a Christian because they know God. They believe in God. You know what? They're going to die and go to hell because they believe in God and not Jesus Christ. And that grieves my heart. You need to, whenever you find someone that believes in God, you need to explain more deeply to them about Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he's made on the cross for them. We need to know that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way, no other name given among men whereby we can be saved except through Jesus Christ. If they don't know Jesus, if they don't have a personal relationship with him, just knowing about God is not enough. Now, Paul, like any other concerned parent, is interested in the growth of his children. And he no doubt prays for their growth in faith and in love for one another. So, Did you know that when Paul left Thessalonica, that the persecution did not stop? And as a matter of fact, when Paul went to Berea, the Jews in Thessalonica followed him to Berea and began to cause problems in Berea as well, trying to stir up the people against him. And that's why he had to run off to Corinth, because of the Jews there. But did you know that those Jews that followed him to Berea had to, went back to Thessalonica? And guess who their target was then? It was the Christians who had come to faith in Jesus Christ through Paul's preaching. It was the Jews, it was the Greeks, it was the prominent women, it was the prominent men who had come to faith in Jesus Christ, and they began to target the Thessalonians who had come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, knowing the persecution, Paul left, he knew that that church would go through persecution. I can only imagine that he prayed, Lord, build their faith. Lord, build their love for one another. Lord, build them up. Lord, encourage them. Lord, strengthen them. That's my prayer for you. That God would do that in you. I want you to grow in faith. I want you to grow up. I don't want you to be a child all your life. In Paul's mind, as it is in mine oftentimes, are they going to stay true to the word of God, or are they going to drift away? Are they going to really get hold of Christ, or they just want to put their toe in the water and taste it a little bit and just feel it a little bit and maybe go to services, maybe feel the Spirit on them a little bit, and then they go back to their normal everyday life as if nothing ever happened in their lives? Jesus says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. That's an incredible church. Their faith grows exceedingly, more and more, flourishing, super faith. Their faith continues to grow at rapid speed, and it's a mind-boggling to Paul that they're growing in such great leaps and bounds in their faith. It's incredible. And he's like, I thank God for you, brethren, because of this very thing. Your faith is growing. You are increasing more and more. Now, normally, you would think a church under persecution, they would kind of hide. And they would kind of question God. And they would think, well, you know, maybe this Christian thing is not what I thought it was going to be. But not this church. Not this church. Theirs was not an easy believism. That's not a real word. I just made it up. I looked it up, and it my spell check said wrong, but it's a word now. The suffering and the persecution that Paul experienced, he knew that this church was going through it as well. And yet their faith continued and grew exceedingly, flourishing. Honestly, if you look at persecuted churches throughout the world, they actually thrive rather than die. The enemy does everything he can to squash the message, squash the gospel, kill the church, and yet it seems as if the more persecuted Christians are in these other countries, the more the church thrives. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. So, a ready church abounds in faith and love. So how can a person's faith grow in the midst of this type of persecution? And you look at this church, they didn't have a lot of written materials. The Gospels probably hasn't been written. Then maybe a little bit of Mark, maybe a little bit of Matthew, but it's only a little time after Jesus's crucifixion. They didn't have a lot of materials. They had the first letter that Paul wrote to them, but there was not a lot of materials. So how did these Christians, new believers, without the materials that we have, how are they able to grow in their relationship with Christ? How are they able to grow in faith and love? So I mentioned earlier, sometime after Paul arrived in Corinth, he sent Timothy back to them. And this is what we find in 1 Thessalonians. He says, "We sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We send him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles." So these people, the second thing we find is these individuals who received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior knew that when they made the decision to follow Christ, that life would become more difficult and not more easy. But they also knew that the rewards were far outweighed the trials that they would face. If you've been a Christian for a while, you realize that it's not easy always. The blessings of the Lord, the gifts of the Spirit, the grace that is upon us during those troubled times, those difficult times, is wonderfully, wonderfully great, but it's oftentimes a struggle to get through the trials, to get through the difficulties, to get through the troubles that we face, to get through the temptations. Cynthia's wanted to share this morning, and she didn't get to share last week, so she said, "I want to share today." So I'm going to ask you to share.
Good morning. I'm very blessed to have the family that I have, with my children and grandchildren and all of you. And I thought it was kind of a challenge to have to reflect over the whole year and just give one blessing. So I decided that my blessing, you know, you put all these little semicolons in conjunction and make this one big run-on sentence, you can give a blessing, right? And then you can add it all in there and all those kind of stuff. Okay. So life as I know it is a bit difficult. Over the past few years, it's been really a challenge and a lot of adjustments. And I may rather look the same on the outside, but I'm not the same person on the inside, because sometimes my brain is just broken. It's just not the same. It works different, and I don't have thoughts like you do. Like if you're in a conversation with someone, you get to think of your response. I don't have that. And I don't have a filter system that filters out the bad or the negative thoughts or things like that. And so if I say something and it's offensive to you, I'm sorry, because I don't have a way to filter things out. So, and my processing is very slow, so I don't respond. So people think I don't hear what you're saying. It's not that. It's just I can't put thoughts together quickly. And it just makes me slower than some people think I need to be. So please forgive me. It just takes me a little bit longer to work through things. So, and reasoning, oh, I don't even know how to do that anymore. It's out the door someplace. So, but I try to be thankful and grateful in all things. In the book of James, we're told to count all trials and tribulations as joy and a blessing. Some days it's hard, not impossible, but hard. In Isaiah 26:3 is a promise that God will keep us in perfect peace as we keep our mind on Him, and we have this steadfast love with Him, and He takes care of us. And some days in my world, it just appears totally hopeless. My hope is in Jesus. And sometimes this is more of a theory rather than a truth, because it's just my reality. I would like for Him to just take it all away and to just make me completely well. But what does it really mean to be well? In Christ, the hope of glory, we are healed and whole and well and complete. We have all that we need. It just depends on where our focus is. Is our focus on ourselves or our circumstances, or on Him and our journey with Him? So what am I thankful for? I'm thankful for life in Christ. I'm thankful to be here with you today. You know, it's even a challenge to be here today. I have this certain place in my brain that when it messes up, it will shut my body down completely. And this morning, I didn't even know if I could be here, but the Lord said to come, and so here I am. So I'm trusting Him to hold me all together today. So I want to share with you just a small part of my journey with Christ. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. I'm thankful for your generous love and for your gift that you have given to Pastor Brad and to me to help us get the stove or the range that we need or whatever it needs to cook on in our kitchen and all that goes with it. I'm thankful for having a loving family here, and I thank you for helping in all the ways that you do. I thank you. And I'm grateful and I'm blessed. And even when I make a wrong choice, I ask God to forgive me. And He's faithful and just to do just that. And He chooses to forgive and to not remember it any longer. There's hope in knowing that I'm forgiven. And I can forgive others the same way that Christ forgives me and that God forgives me. I've learned much on this journey. And I miss the Holy Spirit a lot. He's one of the main things that's missing in my life. He's here, yet I'm not as connected to Him as I would like to be. But I know that's coming. I have challenges mentally. And there's a purpose for it, because God does not waste anything nor give us more than we can handle. On our way home Wednesday afternoon, I was praying about what to say or if I had anything that I could say that you would understand or relate to. I made a few choices a week ago that was not good, and the end results were even worse. It was later that I realized how wrong it was, and I've repented and asked God to forgive me as well as Pastor Brad, that He has forgiven me and God has forgiven me. And so I ask that you forgive me as well. Someone may be here today, and you're struggling with forgiving yourself for something that only you and God know about. And he said that truth will set you free. So you confess your truth to him, and he will set you free. Don't make excuses about you did this because of someone else or what they may have said. Just remember, it's your story. It's your truth. So you take your truth to God and you tell him, because he knows it anyway. So you take your truth to him and you let him set you free, because he's waiting to hear from you. He's waiting for you to bring that to him. You trust him with it because he wants to set you free. Confess, repent, and turn, and make an appointment with Pastor Brad if you need to, because he really wants to help you as well. As I was praying, God reminded me of a prayer that I prayed 27 years ago. I had a total vision of the area and the place on the road where this conversation with God took place. This was from God, because I don't have memories anymore. The prayer that I prayed for my heart and spirit and soul was, Lord God, the Apostle Paul prayed, let me be all things to all men that I might save some. And I prayed, Lord, I know that I, Cynthia, cannot save anyone. Yet if you allow me to become all things to everyone that you put in my path, to walk where they walk, and to live and to understand what they are going through, I can come alongside them and encourage them on their journey to you, that you can save all that you choose to for your glory and for their good, and they can know you and share you with others, so that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That was refreshing and amazing to have God speak to me that way. And I praise the Lord. I share with you, your journey is just beginning. Your yesterday is gone, and it doesn't define who you are. It doesn't say who you are. Your tomorrow will never be touched, because it always becomes today. And today is the only moment that you have. So what are you going to do with it? The things you are stressing over, what do they really matter? In light of all eternity, what do they really matter? Where are you on your journey with God? The Father, God, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one who leads and guides you to all truth. When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, old things pass away. You are a new creation in Christ. So live fresh and new, not old, wishing for the new. Put on the armor of God. In Ephesians 6:10-20, verses 18, 19, and 20 actually tells you how to pray for one another. Pray and thank God for the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. And you can pray it as a prayer. Father, I thank you that you clothe me in your love. Clothe me in your peace. Clothe me in your joy. Clothe me in your patience. Just pray it as a prayer back to God. And remember the Philippians 4:8, all of it. Philippians 4:8 talks about all the good things that we're to do and to rejoice in God. Thank you, church, for allowing us to go to the Northwest Baptist Convention in Washington. It was refreshing and relaxing, and I enjoyed listening to our missionaries speak and share about their journeys. They have to be very careful to protect the people they serve and minister to and minister with. Their messages were good, as well as there's other preachers that preach too. They were preaching on repentance and investing in the next generation. So what does this look like personally, as well as corporately? There are new things I discover about myself daily. After this adventure I discovered, I have a passion for Jesus and prayer and missions and children and prayer and teaching, absorbing God's word and living it and sharing it with others in a real day-by-day way, like it was as natural to me as breathing. I had forgotten that part of myself. And that's part of the incompleteness that I experienced. On Thursday the 16th, I was here cleaning the church, and I had a strong urge that I needed to leave the church and go home. So we left, and on the way home, there was one of our neighbors that was walking. She was looking for her house, and she had been outside for quite some time. But yet we were able to help her to get home. But it's important to always listen to God and be obedient in everything that he asks you to do. You don't always know the answers, and maybe it's not even convenient for you, but you need to listen and obey and praise God and give him the glory. I fight my own battles, but it's not about what I go through or did I do it right or wrong. It's about the journey. And God's plan. Did I listen? Did I obey him and follow him? Did I encourage someone else or lift them up? Was I kind? Did I show mercy? Did I help someone? Did I think of others? Did I glorify God with my life, my choices, my actions, or my words? I'd like to share with you an experience that I haven't had in a long time. This past Saturday, yesterday, as I was reading in my devotion time, John chapter 17, verse 1, the experience that I had with God the Father and Jesus the Son and God the Holy Spirit in my morning devotion and prayer, this is what I experienced as I read this passage, and it came alive to me. The angels were singing. Some were saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy." It was all in different tones and rhythms and musical sounds. And I wish I knew all the musical things to explain it, but I don't. But it was very harmonious and peaceful and relaxing. And refreshing and rebuilding and redeeming and rejoicing and rejuvenating. There's just no human words to express or describe heaven and all its glory and all that goes on. It's breathtaking and reviving all at the same time. It cleanses and refreshes as well as convicts and forgives and restores. Love is pure and unquestionable. And so I was reading chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, hour has come." And as I started reading these words, all of creation came alive around me. I am upstairs in our home, and Pastor is downstairs, wherever. And I am just by myself with just me and Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. But yet I have all of creation, glorify. When I said glorify, I saw creation take place. I saw the mountains rising up, the rugged mountains, the smooth mountains. The oceans were roaring. I heard the blades of grass coming up through the earth. I watched the earth form. I heard the birds and the bugs. I have not experienced God like that in my long time. I used to experience God that way every time I opened up His Word and read it. This was a long time since I heard all of creation and experienced all of creation when I read the Word of God. But creation, all the universe, all the stars, all the galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies, to hear all say, holy, 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 in its own voice, whether it's deep or whether it was the tiniest, smallest, whether it was the wind blowing or the water rushing, all of creation was glorifying God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all in that moment, just waiting, waiting for Jesus to say, yes, Father, I have completed and fulfilled your plan, and now I'm coming back to you. It was amazing to experience the Word of God come alive in that way. It was just amazing. It is so strong and so powerful to be able to just sit and to be absorbed into the heavenly of heavens that way. And you know, that's how God wants us to worship Him and to experience Him every day. That's what He wants us to do every day. That's how He wants us to connect with Him. Every day, that's what He desires for us. That's how He created us, to worship Him, to be one with Him, as Jesus is one with Him. That's what I'm so hungry and thirsty for. That's what I miss. I ask you to finish reading chapter 17, because that's Jesus's prayer for you. He prayed not only for those disciples then, but He prays for us as His disciples today. That is His prayer for us. In the scripture in Psalms 34:8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. He truly, truly wants us to use all of our senses in a magnified way to truly experience Him daily, to see Him, to taste Him, to smell Him, to hear Him, to feel Him, to be touched by Him. The power of God is in obedience and humility, being a servant, listening and obeying. Put on the face of celebration, not a woe is me, when you fast and seek His face. Psalms 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be grateful and be thankful in it. I am thankful for God's grace and His mercy, His matchless, unbroken companionship, His unfailing love, His covenant of peace that cannot be broken. His word is true. He is from everlasting to everlasting. I encourage you to read His word every day, even when it seems empty. Be faithful to read it, and He will speak to you. I have personally read His word for years, and they were just words on paper, even life verses and the most loved verses. They were just words on paper. Yep, I kept on reading. And now there are bright spots like the one I just shared with you. God is still God. He never changes. Even when we do, he never has a bad, questionable day, nor a bad moment. He is faithful. The greatest blessing and the most important thing of all to be grateful for is my name is written down in heaven. What about you? Is your name written down in heaven?
Sometimes we have to go through difficulties and trials we don't even bring on ourselves. It's just sometimes God's trying to grow us. He's trying to encourage us. He's trying to bless us, not necessarily with material possessions or financial blessings. He's trying to bless us in our growth, in our faith. It's been many years, as Cynthia said, and you know, I've used all the tools I know. I've tried to help her as best I can. We've gone to as many doctors as we can, you know, thought we had an answer. But sometimes God allows us to go through difficulties for his purposes. And we don't understand with the church at Thessalonica why they had to go through the persecutions and the tribulations and the trials and the temptations they went through. But God had a promise, and he also had a plan in all of that. The third thing we find in regards to how they were able to get through this thing is their love and concern, the church's love and concern for one another, was paramount to their growth in faith. So if you come to Christ and no one encourages you, no one blesses you, no one comes along beside you and walks beside you, who really cares about you as a person, if they don't invest in you, you will not grow to your full potential. And so in this church, everyone in this church was investing in the lives of others for growth. The fourth thing, they took the first letter Paul wrote to them seriously and began living his instructions out. And I want to share more about that next week. And the last thing is they knew Jesus was coming. And they made it their goal to always be ready for his return. So what does that look like? What if we woke up in the morning and said, Jesus may be coming today? Would that change the way you live your day? Every day. This could be the day. This could be the day. If we wake up, and I believe that's what the Thessalonians were doing. They kept their eyes on the eastern sky, knowing that Jesus was coming. And so every day they would wake up, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And they made their heart ready. Every day they made their heart ready. This church was setting on ready. So what would you need to change in your life for you to be ready for Jesus' return? Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Grow in faith. Walk it out regardless of the difficulty you face. Because there's a lot of people who just quit. When things get tough, they just quit. Grow in love, investing in the lives of others. Take the word of the Lord seriously. Begin to live out what you believe. And wake up every morning saying, Jesus may come today. And living your life with that focus. I'm going to be standing here at the front. Matt's going to be at the back. There's communication cards in the back of the seats in front of you. These Christians were not silent Christians. These Christians were vocal about their relationship with Jesus. We need to be ready. We also need to share the hope of Jesus with the world because there are many people who are not ready. Father, we come before you today.
And Lord, I thank you for your spirit that's here. And God, you've touched some lives today. And Lord, you're calling them to a deeper walk with you. And so, Lord, I pray that they would not hesitate, that they would not dig in their heels, that they would not rebel. But Lord, as your spirit moves, they move. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your grace and your mercy, that you love us just as you are, but also that you love us too much to let us stay that way. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand again.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing each one of us here today to be blessed by you. Lord, I looked up Cynthia and thank you for her testimony, sharing her experience with us. Thank you for blessing us with your presence in the years to come. The way that you bless us, we both will be blessed. Lift her up and pray that you would draw her. You would restore the presence of God. Father, that in all that we would do, we do it all for your glory. We thank you for your Son, who is truly man and truly God. I pray that you help us to be whole, to the true fundamental of the Lord. Give us courage to be.
Amen. And would all of you please give Jaden a round of applause for